I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me to learn how you can smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Lou Diamond. Lou is the master connector. He has over a quarter of a century experience in sales, relationship management, business development, and executive coaching. Lou is an international keynote speaker, consultant, leadership and performance coach, best-selling author, podcast and TV host, and CEO of Thrive, a company focused on making the most amazing people, businesses, and brands become even more amazing through the power of connecting. Lou, welcome to the show.
David, thank you so much for having me.
Lou, it's a pleasure to have you on. You and I met not that long ago at an interesting kind of event here in New York called Unlearnings, which was a slightly different kind of both. Although it's called Unlearnings, obviously there was some learning that was part of that, and also a relationship building event. And I'm excited to go into some depth about something that we started talking about in person, which is how to do a better job in business if you're a solopreneur. And I want to start off by asking you, do you consider yourself a solopreneur?
You know, it's funny, David, because I always have this issue of understanding what the heck the difference is between the two. And I'll say this because I guess I started as a solopreneur, and I don't want to distinguish it from being an entrepreneur. I do recognize the two are overlapping. However, I do have a team of people that work with me with certain clients. And I have a podcast show like yourself, and I have a team that helps work on that. So I've always considered myself more than just the solo Lou Diamond. There's people around it. I've recognized that I am a big component of the brand of my company and my business. So hitting the difference, I do consider myself, I knew that this was something I wanted to go into business for myself. I do recognize though that I need to make myself successful, I needed to surround myself with amazing partners and teammates to make the business grow.
Yeah. So my definition, first of all, I don't think anybody is really the only person in their business, right? Even
Correct.
People that call themselves solopreneurs. And to me, a solopreneur means that there's one primary person who is like the delivery engine of the core offering of the business. So
if that's the case, then yes, that is me, because as a speaker and a consultant, I do a lot of that work, and I do have people that do help me with most of it. But you're right, I am the core essence of what the business is. So yes, I am a solopreneur.
Yeah. So first of all, one of the big mistakes that solopreneurs make is thinking that they have to do everything.
Yeah.
And the more you realize that you not only don't have to do everything, but that you shouldn't do everything, the better off you are, because none of us has an unlimited repertoire of skills. We all have things that we're better at and that we're worse at. And if we focus on spending our time on what we're better at and then delegate the stuff that our business needs in order to be successful to other people that are good at the other things, our business will be a lot more successful. And frankly, it's a lot more interesting. Working with a diverse skill set of people is a lot better. It enriches our lives. It enriches the lives of the people we serve, etc. So anyway, I'll get off my hobby horse about. So, because this is really, I want to ask you questions. So that being said, who is it that you like to serve the most in what you do?
Yeah, great question. I work with top performers top producers, top salespeople, leaders of companies. That's a big bucket that I have there, by the way, because I've recognized over the years that those that come to me, I've taken my whole career of experiences of how to not only sell, market, and lead, I've paired that all together really in this skill set that I coach, teach, and speak about, which is how people need to connect. And there's actually a skill in how to connect that makes all of those different buckets of what I just described, selling, leading, and marketing, is the way that you message yourself to be able to better connect with your targets. And so I serve across every single industry, from technology, marketing, financial services, healthcare, anyone that pretty much has any one of those engines, I've worked in there. I was at a union meeting not too long ago speaking to government employees in the South. So the group of people that I work with are those that are trying to really up their game to that next level. When you think of the 80-20 rule, I used to look at large organizations and I would focus on the top 20% because they were really responsible for 80% of the revenue. And one blip up in helping to improve their game is an amplified effect versus trying to get the rest of an organization up to where that top 20 performing percent is. That's true with top leaders and performers too. In small companies, you get a CEO of a new business that's trying to grow their brand and their message, and you increase their business by only a small amount, you have an amplified result. So those are the top performers that I tend to, that's my sandbox that I like to play in, David.
Mm-hmm. And now let's talk about your core offering, which you started to touch on, about making the connection. What is it that you deliver that ends up, if they do it better, it ends up having that amplifying effect?
Yeah, great question. So from years of working in sales, account management, in a marketing role, and even in a leadership role, what I recognized is the way you need to be in business, in life, in your passions, is a certain way that enables other people that are drawn to you. You've met these people in your life, David, and you've seen them. They walk into a room, it's almost like there's a certain aura about them, and you actually want to connect and either do business, associate yourself, or partner up with people like this. It took me a long time to recognize that I was one of those people for a very long time, and I never knew exactly what it was that I was doing. And I also was able to get those that worked for me or with me to embody a lot of these characteristics. So my offering for what I do is, one, I speak a lot, as you mentioned in the opening. I speak to large companies and show people what makes up what I like to call your connecting core, and help people understand exactly what those, I'm putting this in quotes, Dave, mm-hmm. muscles, what the muscles are that you need to be able to stretch and work yourself so that you can become a master connector and improve the way that you sell, improve the way that your business markets itself, and improve the way you lead. I do one-on-one coaching with very senior folks and a lot of group, call it, I like the combination of the word coaching and consulting together, consulting, whatever the word might be, pairing all of that together, because a lot of the tactical work that I do have is coming up, not just with the theory and the woo-woo-ness of a coaching, but also putting it into action in a game plan as well. Many companies hire me to come in and work with their teams. I'll also work one-on-one with a lot of top performers and leaders to help get them to that next level. So it's that combination, I guess. In one hand, it's the coaching and consulting, and the other side is the speaking and marketing and messaging of what I do on forums like this and everywhere to be able to get that message out more. And that was all paired together. We kind of missed it in a book that I wrote called Master the Art of Connecting.
Mm, sounds good. So Lou, is there maybe a fundamental story you can share about how somebody has taken some of these techniques and really upped their game in the way they connect?
Yeah. I'll give one good example that I know we're working on right now. This is a client I'm working on that they have a media marketing firm. And they have been an independent business for quite some time. And I say independent business in the sense that they're in the agency space. And if you're familiar with the advertising world, there are three major companies that most smaller advertising firms have kind of been rolled up into, from I won't name them all, but Omnicom, Interpublic, and WPP are the ones that those fall into. And to be independent in that space is really challenging. And this particular business has been doing it for almost 30 years. And I was brought in to really help them understand what is their special sauce that's made them so good, and how can they continue to extend and message themselves better? To put it simply, David, how can they better connect in today's very messed up, busy marketing world? Because there's so many different ways that businesses are having challenges in trying to get new business and new customers and to distinguish themselves in a unique way. And what we actually did was we looked at the leaders of the company and the messaging that this company had and tried to determine what the company's connecting core was. And we made sure that its messaging reflected that. So what I do with leaders and top performers like yourself, David, in helping people understand how they can be a better connector, we did it with the company. And it was an exciting story because they're doing totally different things now than they had ever done before. They're messaging themselves in a different way. Obviously, online, they never really had that much of a social media presence. We establish a certain way that they can connect in that way that falls in line with the essence of their brand. And on top of that, we're going into different new client meetings in totally new ways of how they do business, different from what they did before, even different services, because a lot of what they had flirted with in the past, they recognized they could embody into their strengths. So that's at an organizational level of some of the exciting things I've been doing. And they've been kicking ass on top of all of it. I don't know. I'll keep the language here to a PG-13 level, but it's a really good, it's a really great story of how I've been able to help a business achieve this growth.
Mm-hmm. And Lou, are there ways that you believe or you've seen solopreneurs use some of these same principles to really up their game in terms of how their business is working?
So I'll flip it back to an individual who I worked with and still work with to this day. This is someone who's in the financial advisory space, kind of like a financial planner, if you would. And mm-hmm. This is definitely an individual on his own. And what I love about this guy, one of the muscles we talk about in the connecting core is one, it's one of my favorite ones. It's the hardest one to actually coach and develop because it's something that takes the individual to figure out inside their superpower. And that's literally what I call it. I call it like your super why. It's like why you were put on this planet. And it's living and breathing that purpose each and every day. This particular individual is one of those financial planners that stays up at night because he worries about what his clients' financial situations were. He like goes crazy when he hears that people got kids who are ready to go to college and they haven't properly planned for it. Or if they don't have certain documentation or their estate set up in a certain way that potentially if something bad ever happens that they wouldn't be protected. He worries more about this stuff than the actual people themselves. And I worked with him because he had a really almost a little too aggressive way of pushing the way that he would sell. When we recognized that this little magic that he had, being able to share the way that he cares so much helped to grow his business. He actually now uses that superpower that he cares more about your money than you do. And that actually is how he introduces himself to people. His business is, I don't even know, it's gone up at least 15 to 20% just in the last year alone. And in fact, my favorite story is that a prospective client of his called him up just to basically ask, are you the guy that cares more about my money than I do? And I loved it because it was showing that his brand and his message of how he's communicating himself is getting out there. So he's connecting to all new sorts of business just from the great work that he's doing with his existing clients.
Wow.
So it's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Great example. Now I'd love to shift and actually talk about the actual structure of the business, particularly for solopreneur businesses. Because as I said in the introduction, many people struggle to maintain consistent, stable, recurring revenue. What experiences have you had or observed with solopreneur businesses that have led to consistent, stable, recurring revenue?
I think you just hit it on the head. The key is you have to find what I'd like to call your consistent base of revenue. And in my world, I actually have some larger clients that maintain that base. It's almost, I'm working for them on almost a monthly retainer basis. So you need to establish that as the core, something that you're doing steady work. And I hate to say it, it's almost like your biggest clients, but it's more of that's a specific job that you need to do, that you have longer term relationships. It's bigger planning projects, because that actually ends up being the lower level of your base. It's the upside, though, comes from what you do next. And that's what you add on top of that. I'm using my hands here because I do have some, I'm from New York. I talk with my hands all the time. And on my right hand, I'm layering the base and showing you that's what the main client and my main level base of clients is. But when I go speak at certain events, when I'm doing a keynote address, when my podcast has different forms of revenue for people coming into the show, I have a TV show that I speak on. These are all additional pieces on top of it that do two things. One, it's additional revenue for me, but it also adds to the pipeline of that baseline consulting coaching practice that I have, because I don't always have all of those clients all the time. I'm actually trying to get to a point that I lock in longer term deals with fewer clients. And that base keeps it pretty consistent and enables me to focus on the ancillary months where the extra revenues can come in. And what's actually happening, David, is that I'm having more of those ancillary opportunities than the base ones right now, which is a good problem because those tend to be higher ticket items. So that's just in my world where I'm actually able to, you must have that base first, establish the core of where the revenue stream should come in first, because that keeps you safe and sound and covers most of your costs. And then it also is consistent. Whereas the other items might spike up and be busy. I have certain months where I'm so busy traveling and running around, it's a little chaotic, but that it also enables me to use those down months to figure out other ways for me to change the product, improve my service offering, my communication, my marketing, all with that baseline underneath. So it starts with the base and then you grow these little spikes on top of it.
Right, which also means that you're thinking about your business holistically and thinking about it strategically, not just constantly trying to chase leads and prospects to keep the doors open.
It's correct. And I'll even add to this, David, that I invest every year, I invest something into my business to help with that strategy. This past year actually was a lot of what I needed to make my marketing materials look like so that I can do more of this. More of this being more keynote addresses, more speaking engagements, being at different conferences. Because those opportunities were really helping to add to the whole sales funnel. And we'll invest in, I've gone to certain trainings on how to do that better, even change the way that I perform and speak in as a keynote speaker. I've improved the way that we do our podcast show and who we're marketing to and the type of guests that we have on the show, all that help to build to the marketing funnel of the Thrive business and the Thrive Loud podcast. Mm. So all of that is in line. And yes, I'd like to say that I have this great vision that really looks forward thinking. I'd say I had this conversation with someone earlier that I think in 5-month windows, and this may sound really strange, but I don't look at the year as 12 months. It's really only 10 months, because who knows? No one can find anybody in the summer months between July and August. It's like you lose a month then. And then when it comes to the holiday season, everyone's always traveling. So it's really only 10 months of the year that you have. I kind of break the year into those 5-month windows. It's also divisible by 10, which makes it a lot easier when you start to add up the years. That's the way that I plan things out in those, what we want to do for this 5 months, what we want to do for the next, and then keep building on top of that.
That sounds great. And Lou, given what you've just described and the way things have developed and the way you've built things, what are some of the challenges that are associated at the same time?
The challenges, like anything else, is to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. One of the more challenging things is to constantly follow up. As a master connector, I am connected to a lot of people. And one of the things that I absolutely had to make sure is that I have certain systems and tools put in place that make me constantly stay in the know with who I need to. I have a phenomenal CRM application called Close, Cloze. I don't have to enter in anything manually. It observes the behavior of my emails, my phone calls, my texts, my social media activity on who I need to follow up with next based on those interactions, which is pretty great because it actually says, remember to talk to David Schreiner Khan today. So look at that. It's being accurate.
It worked. We're talking today.
It did work. I talked to them. I also have other things to help schedule my calendar. We were talking about this before we got in the air that I use Acuity to help organize and let other people tap into my schedule so that they can make the appointments. All those time savings measures and those systems put in place, even for the podcast, it only takes me now about 5 minutes to, after we've a show's been produced and my team's edited it, to get it up and running and it's blasted out to all the different social media. Little stuff like that enables me to focus on what I do best, which is working with the most amazing people and making them more amazing.
Sounds great. Lou, whom do you know personally who has done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
You know, it's funny. You started asking this question before and I knew it was coming. I'm going to flip into, because, you know, you and I sit in a great seat and we talk about podcasting and both of us have our own shows. And I have to give kudos. This is someone who I normally, for those that listen to Thrive Aloud on my show, I will often poke fun of this individual. But I have to tell you, what he's done in the last year is amazing. My podcast show started on May 1st, so a little over a year ago in 2017. And I was the first client of Turnkey Podcast. Doug Sandler and Strickland Bonner were the two guys that who are the hosts of the Nice Guys on Business podcast. And Turnkey Podcast became kind of their side business. I was client A, or the guinea pig, if you would. They now have over 20 plus clients that they are managing their podcast shows and helping to produce them, from the editing, depending on the level of service that you need. And that's all happened over the last year. Smashing the Plateau is just awesome. This all started because they were really good at something and they knew that they can help people do it. They have a great message. They have a tremendous number of followers from their own podcast show, which has helped to build the popularity of those that also want to grow with it. So I'd have to give Doug and Strickland, really the two guys that are smashing the plateau, and I'm pretty proud of, because I've helped them along the way get their message and help them to connect to a lot of those 20 some odd people that they're working with. So I guess from that perspective and the proximity to how cool they are and how much fun they are to work with, it's great to see them smash that plateau.
Yeah, and I will echo what you just said, because I just spent a few days together with Doug and Strickland in San Diego at the New Media Summit, where we were, you know, quote unquote, icons of influence to help people who want to learn how to gain visibility and influence through the use of podcasts. And so I got to spend some time with Doug and Strickland and hear their story about what they've created over the last year. It's pretty amazing. And they're fun guys, too.
Oh, yeah. And it's a bummer. I would have been there, David. I just actually had a speaking gig that exact same time period. So I could not get to San Diego. But it did look like a lot of fun. And one of those events that I'm going to have to go to. I think that there's going to be one in Austin or something like that in the near future. So
yeah, in September.
So you get to hear my story about what Thrive Aloud has done, which is I look forward to doing.
Sounds great. And what's coming up for you in the near future, Lou?
So a bunch of things. So the Thrive Aloud podcast continues to just go bonanza, berserko, whatever the word is. We started off at one show a week and now we're up to four shows a week, depending on the type of week that we have going on, with tons of guests. So that's exciting from that point of view. I've got a whole bunch of speaking stuff going on for the rest of the year. There's a whole bunch of new marketing material coming out for me. There's new videos and stuff like that, which will all lead up to what will potentially be another book that I'm putting together, which I can't talk about just yet, but I'll be able to talk about soon. So that's kind of exciting, and I'll be able to be promoting that. And just continuing to take things to the new level. There's another project on the side, which is that there's sort of a YouTube channel program, which I've been asked to be the host of, called Greenbacks, which is actually really cool. It's looking at the how sustainable businesses really are, and get to see these really great stories about the green economy. And it's a pretty cool program. And yours truly will be one of the hosts on this this TV type show. So it's kind of neat.
Wow. Very exciting. How can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
Everywhere on social media, it's at Thrive Loud. That's LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me across those meetings, and we are posting stuff every day and sharing those that are coming on the podcast, great leadership thoughts, and some activity that Lou Diamond's up to. You can also go to thrivelab.com, which has all of the information of everything we do at Thrive. And anyone who's interested in having me speak or talk to your organization, you can go to loudiamond.net, and all of that's linked together. And if you want to get a copy of Master the Art of Connecting, all the links are on those websites as well.
Sounds great. Well, Lou, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Lou Diamond, CEO of Thrive Partners. Thank you again, Lou, for joining us.
Truly my pleasure.
I'm David Schreiner Khan. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. We want to help you smash your plateau.